Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, please. It is always a delight to come to Ambassador. I love the zeal of the students here, the singing. My, what a great song to start off the day. It is well with my soul. And, the words of that song are tremendous. But then when you can see it put into word pictures by watching the sign language back there, you about have a Bapticostal fit. And not only does it stir your heart because it's true in your heart, you know that it is well with your soul. But then to see it pictured before you, and Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. And I'm listening for the trump even today. Are you? I mean, I can't think of any time better. There's two times that I would love to see the Lord come back. And that is during a preaching service when Christ is being exalted, or I'm standing under a funeral tent and I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That would be absolutely fabulous. But I know this, whenever He comes, it's going to be good. And it could be while we're here right now. And that would even be wonderful too, huh? Philippians chapter 1. Will you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word? Something that I do back home in the mountains of East Tennessee with my people all the time is we read Scripture audibly together a lot. So I want you to read with me the first 11 verses, please, of Philippians chapter 1. And let's begin our reading now. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long for you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. Father, would you so meet with us right now? Already we have sensed your presence among us. Lord, the joy of coming together and to sing praises unto thee. Lord, grateful to know that our hope is in the Lord, that it is well with our soul. And just when we need you most, Lord, you're always there. And we're grateful to know that we can trust thee right now, recognizing that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, it pierces even the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of our heart. May the Word search us today. I pray that the Word would work abundantly in our lives, that when we leave here today, we will be different than how we came in. Lord, we would desire to walk more in Christ's likeness and to be used of Thee, that one day when we stand before You, we will hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I pray that Thou would help us to keep on keeping on for our Savior. We love You. We need You. We recognize this morning we need Your sufficient grace. For without Thee, we can do nothing. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and for His sake. And all who know Christ as Savior said, amen. You may be seated. I'd like for my wife back there to stand up, if she would, please, so you can see. That is my sweet wife, Denise. This June, we'll celebrate 30 years of marriage. And I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. God has a right man for every right woman. There's no need for you to get all bent out of shape and worried about and get senior panic and wonder what's going to happen. God wants you to be married just like He provided so great salvation for you. He'll provide every other need in your life. And ladies, He'll bring that guy along. And guys, He'll bring that gal along and provide for you what you need. And He'll take care of you. And you can trust Him. I married up, I'm telling you. And I'm grateful for her. She is my friend. There's no one I'd rather do anything with than that gal right back there. And I'm grateful for her, and I'm glad she could be with us for these couple days. And so, ladies, I trust you will be there tonight because I know the time she has spent in prayer and preparation, and I believe that you'll hear from the Lord tonight if you'll come and avail yourself. Speaking of wives that are precious, 22 months ago, we were with some dear friends of ours who we were gathered together for an event down in Atlanta, and as we were seated together, my dear friend looked at me and he said, "My wife has just been diagnosed with cancer." And this week, the Lord saw fit to take Barbara Ledbetter home to glory. And one of the things about Sister Barbara is that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown through in her life so much. The fruit that has come about out of her life when she was physically unable to be about what we're able to do here today. And it is fruit. And you look at that and you say, how could a dear lady who in these latter weeks has been confined at home and yet fruit that has come out of her life, quite frankly, has abounded more and more. Where did that fruit come from? I mean, she couldn't get out and do things. Well, I think our passage shares with us something, a very special truth that I want to encourage all of us about this morning. And it is found in the prayer of Paul for the church at Philippi. Notice what he prays in verse 9. He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And he prays that this love would abound in the spiritual discernment, that you would be able to approve things that are worthy, that are excellent, that are vital, and that you would be without offense till the day of Christ, because verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Do you realize this morning that you are already filled with the fruits of righteousness? How often in our Christian life, we want to be fruitful. We want to be much for Christ. And so, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being lazy Christians, but we will strive, we will work, and we want to be fruitful. And we want to produce a crop many times in our own strength. I want to challenge you this morning about something that you need to be praying, just like Paul prayed for the church at Philippi, that you need to be praying for the faculty, the staff, and the students of ABC. You need to be praying that there would be a bumper crop of spiritual fruit on this campus and outside these walls. Fruit remains from the church at Philippi. We're experiencing it here this morning. And I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul did not create it. And I want you to see this morning three things about this fruit that we're to pray for. You know, we challenge my people back home all the time that we would lift the level of our praying. Instead of, "Lord, bless Dr. Scoville. Lord, bless Brother Beal. Bless the missionaries." No, we need to be specific. And Paul specifically prays that their fruit here would abound. But I want you to see three things about this fruit. First of all, the placement of this fruit. Notice he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. The word being filled means to be completely filled to the brim. And it's interesting when you study this word, the word here means that these saints at a point of time in the past were filled and continue to be so. But that's not all. you study the Word, it says that this action occurred from an outside source. Well, when were the believers at Philippi, and when are you filled with the fruits of righteousness? It is at the point of salvation. Look in Colossians chapter 2 with me just for a moment, please. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Notice, if you would, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In verse 10, now He's speaking to you and me. And ye are complete in Christ. In other words, we are filled out of the fullness of who Christ is. The moment that I trust Christ as my Savior, it is a phenomenal truth that when I, by God's grace and through faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live in me. And as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ that liveth in me. I don't understand it, but Christ lives in me. Now, I don't become a little God. I'm to become more like Christ. But realizing in me is everything that I need to be what God wants me to be. I have Christ living in me. And it's the Spirit of God that magnifies Christ and brings Christ out in my life. And at the point of salvation, I'm complete. Folks, it is, you want so much to be something. You want to get a degree and you want to, may I say to you, I don't care whether you're 5 years old, whether you're 35 years old, or as a lady in our church just the other day had the opportunity to lead a lady 108 years old to Christ. At that moment, you are complete in Christ. I don't have to climb the ladder and get a little more of Christ and oh, now I'm a, don't misunderstand me, I'm reverential here, but a 33rd degree Christ. You know, I've got my degrees. No. The moment that I'm saved, Christ lives in me. And I'm complete in Him. Folks, you, we just read Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. When did that start? The moment you got saved. And He tells you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what He's already put in you. And He's the one who does that work as you surrender yourself to Him. You and I are supernatural fruit bearers. Think about that. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ in us. And I want you to notice that the placement of this fruit, it comes because we are filled with Christ at the point of salvation through the Spirit of God. Now go back to Philippians 1. Since we're filled with this fruit from the point of salvation, what about the production of this fruit? Well, notice he says, being filled from this outside source at a point in the past, and it has abiding results, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are, what's that next little word? By. Which are by me getting a degree, which are by me reading a bunch of books, which are by me getting programs and plugging them in. What's the conduit? It's Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want you to notice something with me here. The production of this fruit is that it comes from the source, Jesus Christ, as we've already seen, who is in you. Notice, if you would, John 15, verse 1 through 5. Read it with me. You ready? Here we go. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What's the source that produces this fruit? It is Jesus Christ. You have got to abide in the vine. Now, there has been all kinds of things written about abiding in Christ. But I wanted to share a couple things with you concerning this great need of abiding. And let me picture it this way, first of all. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. This summer, my wife and I have basically eaten our weight in fruit. We love it. As a matter of fact, virtually every morning, we've had fruit and yogurt. So much so that, and I'm not talking about that canned fruit. I'm talking about the real stuff. Okay? The Ingles just down the street from me, I can go in there, and if I get there at the right time, I can get a whole box of those little containers of yogurt, a whole box for 69 cents. Yes. I've even stood and looked through to look at the dates. And I found several times it'd be the day that I'm there or it's been a day late. And if they don't have it marked, they've told me all you need to do is tell them at the front, 69 cents. And I came out the other day, and we have eaten so much. Love fruit. It's been wonderful. But you know what? That fruit, I can't produce that fruit. I can put that seed in the ground, and I can maybe grow a peach tree. But you know, and I may be able to water it some, but you know what? I can't produce peaches. I'm not capable. You know why? Because I'm not a peach tree. Now, I drove all the way down here to share that great theological truth with you. But you're not a peach tree either. And the only way that you're going to be able to, the fruit that's already been placed in you, to see it come out of your life, is you're going to have to come to know your Savior. You think about it. A man who grows peaches, he's going to learn everything there is to know about growing peaches. And he's going to learn how to plant the seed, how to grow that tree, what the nutrients that need to come to help it, whatever. But when it comes down to the real production of it, he's not a tree and he can't produce those peaches. And I want to say, when it comes to spiritual fruit, which we're all to bear in our lives, you cannot produce that fruit. And you won't produce that fruit unless you come to know the mind of Christ. And the greatest lessons that you'll ever learn around here will not come out of your textbooks. It's going to come out of that book you've got carried sitting in your lap right now. And the most important thing you'll ever do on this campus is to spend time in the Word of God. As a mentor of mine from years back, Dr. J.B. Williams used to say, it's the book, the book, the book. He's an old Georgian. He said, get your nose in the book. And I'll tell you something. Abiding in Christ is, and Schofield notes, if you have a Schofield Bible, I think has one of the best definitions of abiding in Christ there is. And if you have a Schofield Bible like mine, which I'm not using here today, I'm using another one, but it's on the left side of the page or whatever, but it says, to abide in Christ is to have no known sin unjudged and unconfessed, no interest into which he's not brought, no life which he cannot share. The abiding one takes all burdens to him and draws all wisdom, life, and strength from him. It is not unceasing consciousness of these things and of him, but that nothing is allowed in the life which separates from him. I think that wraps it up. Because I want you to notice in verse 5, something we just read. I'm the vine. I'm the vine. I love what many of you, one of your favorite evangelists, Tom Farrell, says. We are not the fourth part of the Trinity. I am the vine. ye are the branches. You know, I look at these plants here, and I wish I meant to stop and try to find one on my way here. But if I just got a branch and I held it here, sit it here and say, produce peaches for me. That branch can't do anything. There it is. But when it's connected to the vine, it's alive. And without me, ye can do nothing. Are you ready for this? I want to share something with you that should encourage you so much. When you look at verse 5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. And without me, ye can do nothing. Here's the principle that is so sweet. If you abide in the vine, do you realize you won't have to struggle to bring forth fruit? It will happen naturally. I mean, think about it. There's that peach tree. Okay? And that, I look at it and we say, boy, that peach tree, beautiful. And then it blossoms and whatever. And you know what? That peach tree isn't going, okay, I gotta grow, out there's a blossom. Oh, I gotta put a peach out there. Okay. Oh, look at that peach. You know what? That's how you and I go about our walk with the Lord a lot of times. We get up in the morning and we say, okay, I gotta do devotions. I gotta do devotions. Okay, I got to do that. Folks, you don't gotta do it. You get to do it. You don't pray to have a relationship with the Lord. It's because you have one. And I don't have to struggle. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is labor in serving the Lord. But you and I will never, as hard as we go after it, and this message I'm preaching today is going to connect to what I want to share with you tomorrow in the Preacher Boys class. When you go into a ministry, and I'll just share just a tad here as an illustration. When you go into a ministry, you want to set the world on fire. I love the zeal, and it's great. But I'll tell you something. When all is said and done, will that church be in remembrance of you, or will they remember Christ? And as much as we labor and as hard as we go at it, and we should, I want to give my best to my Lord. He gave His best to me and continues to do so. But I can't produce the fruit. And you see, what happens, look up verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And He purges. And if I'm not, He's going to deal with me. And sometimes, He deals with us. And we may be in the eyes of other believers and of the world. We are setting the world on fire, and God purges us because the fruit that is coming is my fruit and not His fruit. And He's purging me to get me back to where I will trust Him and abide in Him. Life is Christ and nothing else. And you don't have to struggle, because abiding is my obligation. Fruit bearing is God's responsibility. So, I want you to note that the production of this fruit, the source of it, it's by Christ. He's the conduit. But go back to Philippians with me real quick. I'm just going to share this. That the production of the fruit, its source is Christ, but its sort, S-O-R-T, is given to us also in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ. Fruits of what? Righteousness. Okay, the placement of this fruit comes at the point of salvation. The production of this fruit, its source is Christ. Well, what's its sort? What kind of fruit is it? It is always righteous fruit, because Jesus Christ is the righteous one. We think sometimes, I'm afraid to step out in faith as the Lord leads me, because I'm afraid this won't be right. Let me tell you something. Every step you take, guided by the Word of God, infused by the Spirit of God, step out, because it will be right, even if it doesn't seem right to you. It is right to Him, and it'll bring glory to Him. So much that God wants us to do. He is this big God wanting to do awesome things in our midst, and we're afraid to just trust Him. And we're like Peter. We don't want to put our foot out there. We're afraid we might sink. I've never known any believer to sink with Christ. And I want to encourage you, the sort of the fruit will always be right. And when you compare your fruit with other people's fruit, it'll only be compared correctly if it is fruit that Christ produces. Jealousy comes about and competition comes about among us when I'm doing my fruit. But when it is of the Lord, there's peace, there's joy, and He gets the glory. Because that leads me to the third thing that I want you to see, and that is the purpose of this fruit. We have seen this morning the placement of the fruit. It comes at the point of salvation. Second of all, we have seen that not only is the purpose, the placement of it, completing Christ, but the production, but now I want you to see the purpose of this fruit. Unto, verse 11, unto the glory and praise of God. Hang on with me. As we abide in Him and bring forth fruit, you will not draw attention to yourself. I mean, who ever heard of a branch on a peach tree making a lot of noise? Here's what happens. Okay, you go to the peach orchard. And matter of fact, my wife and I, we even brought some fresh peaches with us. I mean, thank the Lord, the room that we're staying in and is wonderful and grateful for the basket with fruit in it. But we're enjoying the fruit in that basket, but we're also enjoying these fresh peaches that we bought the other day in Middlesboro, Kentucky. Don't you love a peach when you cut it and you go to bite into it and it runs down, you know? We're bonding. I can see it right now. But you look at that peach. Watch this now. You look at that peach, you'll say, wow. And you hold it in your hand and it's not real firm. I mean, it's not one of those if you hit you like a baseball, okay? But you know it's going to be a good one. You say, oh, that's going to be a good peach. And here's what you do. You look at that peach and you say, wow, that's a good peach. Where did we get those from? I've bought some peaches in the grocery store that were like a baseball. I don't go back and buy from that store. There's a fruit stand in Middlesboro, Kentucky that my wife and I pass often because it's on the way to my wife's folks up in Kentucky. And, we always seem to get good produce there. Well, I don't know where they get those peaches from, whether it be Georgia, South Carolina, whatever. Okay, because the only thing they grow in Kentucky is coal, all right? But nevertheless, and that's not an offense, I'm just, okay? But when I see that peach, I say, that's a good peach. Wonder what orchard that came from. Now watch this. Nobody says, wow, what a branch. The branch that peach came off of, I'd love to see that branch. Oh, I want you to know that branch is, I mean, that's just wonderful. You know what? When we do not abide in Christ, when we are trying to operate out of our flesh and we're trying to be what God doesn't want us to be, then we give our life to the searching of branchology. And you know something? May I tell you something? If a vine, if that branch is not connected to the vine, that branch is worthless. But when the branch is connected to the vine, then here's what happens. First of all, you see what God is doing. You get excited about that and you say, whoa, look at that fruit. You don't go back through the branch. You don't come back and say, oh, Brother Beal, if I could just be like you, so I could produce Beal fruit. I mean, that would just be wonderful. No, I want to go beyond Brother Beal. I want to go to the source of where the fruit is in his life. I want to go to the orchard because that's where the glory is. And when I go to the orchard, then the fruit that comes out of it gets the glory and not the branch. I'm thinking of fruit and bearing fruit, whatever. Dear friend of mine who says it so well that quite frankly, all of us are just dirt pots. And I don't care if you have a degree from ABC, you're a dirt pot with a bachelor's degree, a Bible degree. And no offense to anybody, I'm serious here. You may get a PhD. You're just Dr. Dirtpot. And I'm just quoting my dear friend. Seriously. You need to be reminded of that. Here's the branch. But what a branch! When you are connected to the vine, abiding in Him, and producing fruit that brings glory and honor to God. You know what? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Say it with me. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May I remind you of something? I'm about done. Spiritual fruit always gives the right opinion of who God is. Spiritual fruit always reveals Jesus Christ. Because peach trees bear peaches. And if Christ is the vine and you're the branch, what's going to come out of that? Christ-likeness. It's going to be the fruit that will remain, as John 15:16 says. It's eternal fruit. And I'll just share this as an illustration. One of the hardest things I have had to get over, and I still wrestle with it. And I'm not playing on emotions for the invitation in a minute. I'm just being transparent with you. For years, I struggled if people didn't walk the aisle after I preached. Because if I got a bunch of people down front, then I felt like I had accomplished something. And especially we as men, with our ego, we like to accomplish things. We like to fix things. And it's why I like to cut grass, because every 21 inches I accomplish something. And so if I get a bunch of people down the aisle, wow. And you know something? God will not share His glory with anyone. And now when I preach the word, even this morning, and I mean this, if no one comes forward, if 100 come forward, it wasn't because of me. Because of Him. I want to remind us that spiritual fruit always gives the right opinion of who God is. Now, Barbara Ledbetter. As I talked to her husband yesterday, he said in her last 48 hours, she preached all kinds of Bible lessons. He said, we gathered our family together. Brother Gary said, I got Jonathan and Amy and Matthew together, and said, Mama looked at us and said, now, when you put it all together, all of life, you come down to this one thing, love God and love others. And she went on to share some things out of her life. Here she is. She is just hours from meeting the Lord, struggling to even talk, on pain medication. She can't go out and knock on doors. She can't stand in a class and teach. But in her life and even in her death, because of her Savior, she was bearing spiritual fruit. And she was weak, but He is always strong. Paul prayed that the church at Philippi, he said, I pray that your love would abound, that you would be able to prove things because you're filled with the fruits of righteousness. May you be praying for one another. Lord, help Dr. Scovel today. He is filled with the fruits of righteousness, and may spiritual fruit come out of his life as he teaches us today. May we not see Dr. Scovel, but may we see Jesus Christ. I promise you that dear brother would rather you pray that for him than, Lord, bless Dr. Scovel. Lord, our dear president has gone through the fires this summer. You've refined him to bring forth spiritual fruit. As he directs this campus today, oh God, the fruit that's in him that you've placed in there, bring that out. We don't want to see Mr. Beal. We want to see Jesus Christ. That's how you need to be praying for one another. And I want to encourage you to do something. I don't know if you, whether you know the person seated beside you right now, but you're going to get introduced to them in just a second. I want you, two by twos, if you will, please, just stay right where you are. I want you, if you don't know, say, what is your name? My name is. And I want to ask you right now to pray audibly for the person beside you, and then that person pray for you. Don't pray for 8 days. We're praying specific. Open your Bible. You still got it to Philippians chapter 1. Would you pray verse 9, 10, and 11, especially verse 11, for the person seated beside you? I'm going to turn, go back here to Brother Beal. We're going to pray together. And in a little bit, I'll come back to the pulpit here and lead in prayer. I want you to pray for that person beside you. Let me tell you something, folks. You're not here today to study and to make grades and whatever. That's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal today is that Christ would live His life in and through you, and that spiritual fruit would abound that would remain for Him. You need to pray for one another. So would you do that right now? Find out who the person is beside you, and I want us to, I want to hear the voice. Listen, God loves to hear the righteous pray. So let's pray specifically for one another right now. Let's do it, all right? Our Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer, the opportunity to declare our dependence upon You. I pray for this campus and these precious students and faculty and staff, that they who have been filled with the fruits of righteousness that are by Christ, Lord, that they would bear much fruit unto the glory and praise of God. May today in each of their classes, may it be a place of holy ground, a place of praise, a place of joy, a place of learning to be better equipped to bring forth that fruit. And I ask that You'd help these instructors. I pray that what You have worked in them would be worked out of them and just poured out on these students. And that today, revival would come to this campus because we live with an awareness of Your continual presence in our life and therefore dependent upon You. We love You. And we thank You that You first loved us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you reverently and quietly stand to your feet? I want to ask you to do one thing, please. I want you to put into a sentence what God has said to you. This is what God has said to me. Put it into a sentence. Now, what does He want you to do by the Spirit of God in obedience to what He said? We didn't come to chapel today just to go through the motions. We've come to meet with the Lord, and He has come to speak to every one of us. It may be that you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're drinking from all the wells of this world. They will never satisfy. Jesus Christ is living water, and He paid the price for your sin. He has done everything necessary for you to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn invitation. If you're unsure of your salvation, if you were just 10 seconds away from death, where would you spend eternity? If you cannot say without reservation, heaven, you need to walk the aisle and let someone take the Scriptures and show you how you can be saved. And I don't know how God has worked in your hearts, believers, but if you need to spend time at this altar in response to what God said to you, as we sing this hymn, you're not responding to anybody else but to God. Do not be ashamed of Him. So, Father, Your will and Your way in this invitation. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name.